Hello and welcome everybody to
After the Funnel Pop.
Not After the Funnel Pop.
Nope.
What?
What?
Are you still my job?
What?
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host here. With me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Ben, I did make it here today, but I'll tell you what, I've had more travel woes.
Dude, for rough context, as I present this, basically this past weekend, Beth was en route with you in tow to the New York City Marathon.
That's right.
And that meant that you guys were obviously traveling up to the city. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the days leading up to it, I was very jokingly like, yeah, but you got, I mean, you know, like travel, like, you know, with you guys. Like,
I know.
You know, like,
yeah.
Whatever. We'll see if you get there.
Yeah, we'll see if you get there.
because you guys have, I mean, been through it. To recap, you had your trip to 30A.
Yeah.
Not the 30A.
Not the 30A, just 30A.
Just 30A.
Yeah, it's clean.
For your 10-year anniversary, where the flight out of Roanoke was canceled.
Yeah, just canceled.
Just canceled completely. Guys ended up driving.
Ended up driving, yep.
Yeah, which is a, you know, I mean, it's a lengthy drive.
It's a lengthy drive, yeah, when you're not expecting it.
Compared to,
well, we flew to Charlotte thinking they could rebook us there.
Okay.
So we flew to Charlotte, and then they couldn't do it, and then we had to make the decision.
Right, so you, I mean, what's an hour and 40 minute flight turns into a 40 minute flight plus a 9 hour drive.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was what they say in the biz, disfortunate.
It was disfortunate. Yeah.
And then I believe that the second bout of travel woes you were actually not directly involved with, but it was Beth going on a girls' weekend.
Yeah. Beth was going to go on a girls' weekend. Yes. Flight canceled.
Flight canceled. And so the whole weekend just ended up being like nicks.
Just nicks. It was just like, yeah, they can't, there wasn't another flight out until like late the next night, and then it's like, well, then the weekend's gone, so there's no point.
Right. Yeah. So you guys, and this has all happened just in the past 5 months?
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah. It's all been in pretty quick succession here. And so we were on our way to New York City, so Beth could run the New York City Marathon. And like, you know, there's been like lots of delays and stuff in flights because like there's been like, you know, flight traffic controller issues,
lots
and
of
the
shortages.
Government shutdown, yeah. And there's just been like, not like things like that, but you know, we're like, we're direct flight to New York, no connections, you know, Roanoke, boom, done. We don't have to deal with Atlanta. That's been the problem the last two times, where storms are hitting Atlanta. And there's like a big domino effect. We're just going to get on the plane. It's going to be great. We're going to wake up. And we were like, you know, prepared to wake up at 5:30. The flight was like 6:15. We've taken this flight before.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It is honestly a great flight. Roanoke doesn't fly direct to many places, but the places it does, this is one of the best flights because you can get on the plane at 6 and be having a bagel in downtown Manhattan at like 9:30.
Yeah.
It is great.
It really is kind of something special where you're like, I can't believe that my feet were on the ground in the mountains of Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, not but 3.5 hours ago. And now I'm in Times Square with a rainbow bagel.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's exactly what we plan to do.
Yeah.
We plan to get off the plane, check our bags at the hotel. Boom. We're getting bagels, heading to the running expo. We got the whole day.
The whole day.
Got the whole day ahead of us. It's going to be great.
And that's a glorious thing in the name of traveling, because, you know, what we always talk about, like with our beloved Vermont, is that as glorious as it is, it's 12 hours from here.
Yeah.
And you can't, you could theoretically fly, but like you can't fly because we bring so much gear with us,
yeah,
you know, for the accoutrement, so to speak.
Exactly.
So it's like, then if you're going on a week-long vacation where one day on either end is fully occupied by the travel, then you've really condensed the trip into 5 business days, mm-hmm, of vacation.
Yeah. So this is a rare opportunity to get very far away very quickly. And because you can just Uber into the city and don't need a car and you don't need to bring that much, just boom, you're done.
Boom, bam.
Boom, bam. It's great. And yet... And yet, we woke up at 4:30 in the morning. Of course, we want to, you know, make sure we can get coffee, pack up our last odds and ends, and
right? Yeah,
get to the airport.
The toothbrush. That's the one that I always find to be tricky because you need it in the morning.
You need it in the morning. My charger is what I forgot this time.
Your phone charger?
My phone charger. Ooh, yeah. I know.
That's another one that's hard because you need it.
You need it the night before. Yeah. And it's like, well, and then I forgot it because we woke up and, you know, we're checking, you know, we had like little texts, you know, from the airlines, and they're like, sorry, your flight's been canceled. And it was like, can you give me a reason why it was canceled? Have you rebooked me? Because sometimes like airlines these days are like, it's been canceled. You've been rebooked later this day, or we've, you know, rerouted you. You're going to fly here and then get a connecting flight there and whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's not normally like in a huge, huge issue. It's like an inconvenience no matter what, for sure. But there was no information. It was just like, sorry, your flight's been canceled. And then I was like, you know, we're trying to investigate further. There's like, you can rebook, you know, you can look for places to rebook through here. We couldn't find anything, but have at it, you know, which is like, that's annoying.
I have a random question. Will you be refunded for your flights?
We were refunded.
You were refunded. Okay. Yeah. This is like one of those things where I swear so often I'll talk to people and they'll be like, my flight was canceled and I didn't get my money back. And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
Why?
Excuse me?
Like, yeah. I'm like, I don't understand.
They can't.
Like,
this was illegal. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They didn't render the service.
Yeah. They didn't render the service. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. So that's good at least. So anyway, there's that.
Yeah. But then I'm looking at it and it's like, it says like, we couldn't rebook this one. Your return flight has already been rebooked. And I'm like, okay, well, at least, you know, at least there's that. Once we get up there, we have a flight home.
Right. That's nice.
Just got to get up there. That's good. But so we're trying to figure out what to do and we're looking, you know, are there any other flights out of, you know, Raleigh or Charlotte or, you know, Lynchburg or something? And there's not. I mean, not anything that isn't going to get us there until like 11 at night. And it's like 11 is not a good time because at that point we may as well drive, you know?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Of course we can't, even if we drive, we have the flight home. You had to like rent a car to drive, you know,
so that you could like leave it there.
So you could leave the car there. Otherwise you gotta drive home. It'd be very annoying. So, but then we see that, oh, there is an Amtrak. There is a train. It's leaving at 6:15. And we're like hemming and hawing on that. And we're like, Beth, you know, she was, well, we decided we're going to go to the airport. Like we can probably work it out there. It's like early enough. There's probably not a lot of people there. We'll just like talk to the attendant and they'll like be able to figure something out. Right. Well, so that's what we do. We go to the airport anyway, even though the flight is canceled and they can't help us. There's nothing they can do. And in the meantime, of course, now we've also missed the train, which is frustrating.
Right.
So you're like, okay, all right. We can't do that. We can be frustrated about it, but we can't do it because it's already too late. So now what do we do? Do we just get there a day later? Like, I mean, we don't want to. It would have been okay. It would have been okay if that was like absolutely what we had to do because like the race wasn't until Sunday. So even if we traveled on Saturday instead of Friday, not the worst thing in the world, but we wanted to get there today. You know, we want to get to the expo. We're going to start having fun. We're supposed to have dinner with our friends in the city tonight.
Right, right. Yes. You know? I mean, and that's the thing too, is that like you go and you do these trips and there's the marquee event that gets you there, but then you also just want to enjoy your time there.
Exactly. Yeah. Enjoy our time there.
Right.
So the new plan is that we are going, so what we end up doing is we rent a car from the airport where we have to continue, where we leave our other car. Cause again, we have the flight back. So like we know we will eventually return to the airport.
Sure.
Right. And we rent a car and we're going to drive to DC where we can catch a train from there to the city, which you might think, well, if you're going to like, what's the difference? Why not just drive all the way at that point? And the difference is this, that then I don't have to deal with a car in New York City. And two, if you take the train to New York City, it drops you off at Penn Station, which is right in the middle of everything. So you're just there. There's no like Ubering to and from anywhere else.
That's a boon.
Yeah,
that's a huge win. And it's funny that you brought that up because I think Alice and I were like, I wonder why they're taking the train from DC instead of just like going the rest of the way.
Yeah. And yes, so that's the reason.
That answers that question.
Yes. But so we're going to rent the car and we're like, you know, I think the woman at the counter is like, where are you going to return it? And we're like, to a Union Station in DC. And she is looking at me like, this is like no one has ever, ever in the history of her job driven to the train station. She doesn't know the code for it. Sounds like she's never even heard of it. And I'm like, you work in the travel industry.
On the East Coast.
Yeah. Union Station has got to be the most famous train station besides Penn Station. End of sentence.
Right. At least in our country.
I'm going from the most famous one to the other most famous one. Okay. And it says on the Union Station website, rental cars from all these five places. You work at one of these places. Please rent me a car there. And oh, I'm so annoyed. I'm so sorry. And you know how like sometimes, like I think you've had people come to your house to do work or like yard work, and it's like, look, it takes like, you know, $100 to like get us to the house. But once we're there, we'll do as many things as you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? This is what my electrician told me, is that it's like, yeah, it's, you know, $300-$400 for the person to be there. And then if you want us to install like 75 outlets, like we'll just keep doing it all day. And
right.
We'll charge you per outlet, but the bulk cost is the get there cost.
Right.
So
right.
Just make the best of it.
Make the best of it. Right. Right. So what I'm learning now is I think there's something similar happening with rental cars.
Oh.
Because like when we rented the car to drive down to Florida, and we kept the car the whole time, you know, we used it the whole time.
Right.
No big deal.
Yeah.
That cost us like $300 or something.
Sure.
It was like 4 days with the car.
Right.
Not that bad.
Not that bad.
You know, well, this cost us about $300. And I was like, are you kidding me? We're driving for 4 hours, you know?
Yeah,
like, we're going from here to there.
They really, really don't like, rental car companies don't seem to like the one-way tickets. Like, I don't know if it like redistributes the cars in a way that like challenges them, but I ran into this on the West Coast too when we were doing tour, because we were going to land in Seattle, need a car right away,
mm-hmm.
and then drive all the way down the coast to Los Angeles where our final show was going to be.
Leave it there.
And then we were sure as heck not driving it back.
No, we weren't.
Yeah. And so, and I do remember seeing the price tag on that, and I was like, oh no. Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So annoying. So annoying. And then what we're doing, then the hilarious thing is that we're driving to Union Station to catch the train up to New York, but the train we're catching is the one that we missed, you know?
Oh my god.
It's
gosh.
The same train.
So you're literally like following the train.
We're racing the train. We have to get ahead of it now. It's already off, you know?
Like an episode of Top Gear.
Exactly. We got to like beat the train to DC so we can catch it. And it's already got a head start. We've got like a 20 minute window of like, we got to get there with this much time.
Yeah.
You know, just like so, so frustrating. And then this is like, again, it's like, I don't know why the ticket pricing is working out the way it's working. Like if we just bought the train tickets in Roanoke, which would have been a longer trip from Roanoke to New York,
uh-huh.
that would have been like $300 total, like $150 each.
Uh-huh.
Now we get to freaking DC and the price of the tickets each has gone up to $300. And you're like, why? It's a shorter trip. Like, So suddenly, even though I already had tickets to be in New York by 9 o'clock, it's costing me almost $1,000 to get there later in the day.
Oh,
and I'm
is...
like,
do you have steam coming out of your ears?
I was so mad. It was just like, it was so infuriating. And, you know, then you're stressed the whole time. Because you're like, you've got the buffers built in, but like you get to DC and of course the traffic is bad because it's DC and, you know, you don't know exactly where you're going to have to return the rental car, or if you're going to have to like go inside of a building and wait in a line and hand a guy a key, or if it's just going to be like, yeah, pull up, hand the person at the window the key, see ya.
Right.
Which, you know, and then it's like you got to navigate inside the train station where to go and you don't know where to go. And you know, we ultimately made it. It was fine. We got on the train. Once we were on the train, it was great. We went right to where we wanted to go and we checked into the hotel and we started having fun. But so the travel. Ugh.
You had a real planes, trains, and automobiles situation going on.
We very much did have a real planes, trains, and automobiles situation going on.
Man, I'm so sorry. That is infuriating. But like the testament that I would offer to you and Beth is that I do think you guys do a really good job of like letting. Like, it sounds like you were feeling the frustration in the moment, but I mean, from what I could tell from like the photos you were sending and like, you know, your demeanor about the trip and how things seemed to go, it seemed like you guys did a really, really great job of just otherwise letting it kind of like beat off of you once it was like over.
Yeah. Once it was over, it was fine. We got to the hotel room. That was great. And then we just, you know, proceeded to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, we had to go, we went to the Race Expo, which, you know, If you've never been a part of like a big half marathon or marathon, there's always like a, basically a running convention attached to it.
And honestly, they're really fun. Like,
yeah,
I remember when we were just like high school students. I think I was coming into ninth grade. So I was like in between eighth and ninth grade. And you and I were both slated to do the Virginia Beach Rock and Roll Half Marathon.
Yep.
And we had been going out with Dad and doing these like distance runs and, you know, like doing all this preparation for it. And did you end up... You had like a surgery or something.
Yeah, I had like a surgery and then I couldn't run.
Yeah, like two weeks, a week before. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
So I'm sorry about that. That was just yet another one of those situations.
I know.
Had to endure. You do a good job of really not like dwelling on the past. I'm like, it's occurring to me now as we like discuss these things. And I'm like, these things have happened to you and you don't ever have like this like woe is me mentality about it, which is really.
Well, thank you.
No, you're welcome. Yeah. I think it's a really great thing. It's a hard thing, I think, you know, to not just be like, why is it always me? Why does this keep happening?
I don't know. Things just happen and that's just how it is. I don't know. There was not much I could do about it. So, you know, there's no like, you know, dwelling on it does no one any good.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? No. Well, you know what? I realized I got sidetracked by the fact that you also were unable to do that particular race. But what I was going to say was that as kids, we were like emerging cross country runners. We were really into it. We had like our like deep obsession with Steve Prefontaine.
Yeah.
We were watching the movie, which was like one of like the family favorites growing up.
Without limits.
And we were driving. We were watching it in mom's minivan on like the little flip down DVD player.
Yeah.
And in the movie, Frank Shorter is a former Olympic athlete who was one of Steve's best friends while he was sort of like going through his own Olympic endeavors during that period of time. And we found out that Frank Shorter was going to be like signing autographs at the race expo that we were going to. So like it was... It's probably like one of those like extreme like sector celebrity type
absolutely
of situations.
Yeah.
But like to us, this was like a huge deal.
I know.
We got to go and talk to someone. And I this is like one of those things where I don't know how factually correct it is, but and without giving any major spoilers for the film itself, but Frank Shorter would have been like amongst the last people to speak to Prefontaine before his untimely death.
Right.
And so it's like even that is just, it's crazy because Steve would have existed during a period of time where there wasn't like internet and social media. So while he was on the cover of plenty of like Runner's World magazines and, you know, like there are interviews with the man himself and stuff, there aren't one that many, cause it's still a fairly obscure sport
I think,
in the scheme of, you know, all sportdom.
Yeah. Most people aren't like following their favorite runners, you know?
Right. Yeah. The, you know, so like it's like, there's like limited ways to like almost like have any interaction with the man himself, but this was getting to go and talk to someone who literally knew him as a friend. And it's like, it was just, I don't know. It was just really cool. So you're inside of, it's like a Comic-Con type of event, but instead of like comic books and posters and little mini figs and pop vinyls and stuff, it's like goo packs.
Yeah.
And
it's like running goos. And there was so at this one in particular, there were so many free samples, which is like, this is what I'm here for. I'm not running. So I'm,
I am
here for the samples, y'all. I had all sorts of kefir and kombucha. And like, you know how we've been doing the morning greens?
Yeah, like athletic greens.
Yeah. There was morning greens gummies.
No.
Yeah.
Way.
And it was like, you know, we started eating them and like I feel like everyone else who was eating them, like if you've never had like your daily greens is what they're called.
Okay.
If you've never had daily greens, you'd eat these gummies and be like, blah, these, what on earth is this? But like to me, it was like such a familiar flavor. I was like, I like these. These are good.
It tastes like mushy bananas or something.
Yeah, it's like pineapple and I don't know. It's a very weird flavor for sure.
It's a weird flavor, especially for if you've ever seen, you know, like greens before, it's exactly what it sounds like. And it's the least appetizing looking beverage known to man.
Yeah.
But I say that as if like we are so aggressively acclimated to like dark colas,
yeah,
you know, that like, I don't think that like we ever really think of drinking those as being like gross.
Yeah.
But like, you know, imagine living in any other world or whatever, and they come up and they've got this like old motor oil colored beverage, and they're like, this is a delicacy. It'd be like, no, it isn't.
I don't know about
that. There's no way.
Looks like a big old glass of brown water.
It's like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's like we went to the nearest swamp and we gathered up some,
right.
some liquids.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I was, you know, enjoyed many a free sample of many a runner delicacy or so, energy shot or whatever.
So you're mightily electrolyte.
I was so electrolyte. Yeah, by the end of this, I was like, you know, because they only give you these tiny samples, but there were so many. Like, I almost left. I was like, man, I'm kind of full.
I'm kind of full.
A little bit, you know.
Like gelatin cubes.
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff. I'll tell you this though. The other thing. So I feel like different sports or different conventions will often have like a like the item or whatever. So like when I went to Pokemon Worlds, every year it's the backpack. Like, you got to get the backpack from Pokemon Worlds.
Which you did.
Which I did. I have the backpack and I use it and it's awesome.
I can't tell you how green with envy I am over your Pokemon Worlds backpack.
Oh, thank you.
Like,
thank you.
It is, I feel like it is so well thought out. And like the little straps, like the shoulder straps, have these like little pin pads.
Yep.
Like we go to Pin HQ?
GoPin Pro HQ. Yeah.
GoPin Pro HQ.
Yep.
In Orlando, Florida.
Yes.
Is we know the girls that own
Sydney
it.
And Julia.
Yep. They're sisters, and it is like if you're like a pin person for Disney, then you have to go.
You have to
like
go.
It. I mean, it's like it's like an odd experience because the main showroom area that you're in maybe isn't even like that big.
Doesn't
like,
feel that big.
Like maybe like 1,400 square feet or something like that. You know, like not like an overwhelming space. But pins are so small that they have like 20,000 of them.
I know.
On the floor, and they're all unique.
Right. It's like it's not a huge shop, but. If you could easily spend like 2 hours in there and not see everything.
Oh, easily.
Easily.
Yeah. And every time we go, we do spend 2 hours there and it's great. But their cool thing that they did was when they were just like high school aged or something, they patented these cool like foam board pin pads,
yeah.
Which is just like a good way to like store your pins, like whether they're in like folders or like a backpack or a purse or something like that. I got all sorts of cool things, but your Pokemon backpack has those built into the arm straps. It's got these like really nice like three-dimensional patches all over it that are like, they're just gorgeous. The color scheme is amazing. It's got like mixed patterns. We'll have to show a picture of it, but yeah, no, I am very envious of
thank you.
Of course. Yeah.
It has become my like my trading card game, a backpack that I, you know, bring to events and stuff now. So
that's a flex.
I have a dedicated backpack for it. But if you're a runner, if you're not a runner, what you might not know is that, and I think this is the spawn point is for the Boston Marathon, but the item is the jackets. And like, you've probably seen someone in your city or your town, if they've run the Boston Marathon, they have one of the jackets.
Yeah.
And it's like a mark of I made it to Boston kind of thing.
And because these, like, I was telling Alice a little bit about this because I don't think she was like as acquainted with how big of a deal it is to do the New York City Marathon.
Right.
It's like, there's pretty much like... Like, and I'm not that there's not like other very important ones the world over or anything, but I feel like Boston, New York City, and London are three that get like a lot of attention. They have a lot of cachet.
There are seven majors.
There's seven majors.
There's seven. Okay. So it's London, Boston, New York City, Chicago, Berlin, Tokyo, and somewhere else.
Okay.
But yes, there are seven like big major marathons around the world each year. New York, Boston is the most well-known and famous one. New York is the biggest one.
Yeah, it looked... There was an incredible photo that I forget who sent in our family chat, but it's like everybody at the starting line coming across like the bridge.
Yeah.
And it's just like... a metric wall of people. Like, yeah. I mean, it's like,
it's crazy
to the point where part of me was like, can the bridge handle that kind of weight? Like, yeah. You know, like, I mean, obviously it can, obviously you know, it can, like yeah. it's a faulty concern, but you know, and it normally, you know, carries vehicles,
right.
Which are decidedly more heavy than people.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, you're like, whoa, that is so, it's thick with people.
It is thick with people. The New York City Marathon is typically the biggest one in terms of attendance. And this was the biggest New York City Marathon ever, which then, if so facto, might have made it the most heavily populated marathon ever.
Wow.
I know. Okay. I don't know the full facts on that, but I think all that logic tracks anyway.
It does track, at least, yeah. if out of the majors, New York City is considered the biggest one, and this was the biggest New York City Marathon, it's like, what would stand above,
I know,
that?
What would stand above it? Yeah.
Shy of like some version of like a one-off somewhere that for some reason had, right. extra special attention added to it.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Boston City Jackets, I feel like that's the spawn point for it. As far as someone who was in the running world for a while, it seemed like you knew about the Jackets.
Yeah, and our dad has one.
Our dad has one, or a couple even.
Yeah, because he's done Boston twice.
Yeah. So we get there, and I think because it's a big deal in Boston, it's like, now if you go to any of the big marathons, you got to get the jacket.
Yeah.
Like, Beth went to the Chicago one, she has the jacket. And now we're going to the New York City one, and there was like three versions of the jacket here.
Okay.
So there, and that was like our hunt. So if we had gotten there earlier in the day,
oh, don't say it.
I know, we might have been able to get, like, they were out of the smalls almost immediately.
Okay.
Which to me feels like something they could have predicted. They had three different jackets. One was like primarily pink, one was primarily blue, and then there was like an off-white with like a big orange stripe on it, which I think was like maybe the most official one, but not the most popular one.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
The most popular one by far was the pink one.
Okay.
Yes, which is of course also what Beth wanted. And of course they ran out of the smalls because all of the women want the pink one. And if you're a runner who is
doing a marathon,
you're small. Like, definitionally, you have, like, you're probably very tiny.
I mean, it's, yeah. And this is normally a qualification. Like, Beth was able to do like a virtual race in order to like qualify, but normally you would qualify by time.
I think it's just lottery.
It's just lottery.
I think it's just lottery sign up for the most part. But you can do if you do the virtual race 1 year, you'll automatically be allowed entry the next year.
Okay, got it.
And then you can do like fundraiser stuff to get in as well.
Okay, cool.
So there's other ways in as well. But they ran out of smalls basically immediately.
Okay.
Which, unfortunate. But then as we're getting there, the mediums are also, now that's the new hot, you know, like
new,
that's
hot,
the
flavor.
next best thing you can get. And we're looking at that, and like there's different, you know, racks of them all around the front part of the expo, and we're like, oh, we're like running to each one, like, oh my god, do they have it. And it's like, nope, all larges, all XLs, all, you know, no mediums or whatever. And I'm looking at some final rack, and I'm like, oh, there's just like, we're not, don't know if we're gonna be able to find one. And then some lady's like, oh my god, I just saw a guy with an armful of them, and he was walking over there, and he had mediums. And I was like, oh, where? And she like turns around, she's like, oh my god, I can't see him. And then she's like, oh, over there. And she sees him and like run up, and he's like putting the last jacket on the rack he's got over there, and I like grab it, and it's like the only medium he was carrying.
No.
And I was like, oh my god, we got one.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
I was on the edge of my seat for that.
I know.
Story.
I was like,
I gotta know what happens next.
I know. And then Beth was like hemming and hawing. She's like, should I get it? And I'm like, what do you mean?
Of course you should.
You have to get the jacket.
In fact, we're getting it. We
got the last medium, dude.
I will go check out right now.
I know.
You now have the jacket.
You have it. Yeah. I was like, no, I don't care. We're getting it. Even if you don't wear it, I'm.
I'll get it, and we'll put it in the closet.
We'll put it in the closet.
We'll show friends when we come over.
I was like, we got the jacket. She's already worn it like three times now. So I was like, yeah, obviously, good call.
Obviously.
So that was our, you know, our big hunt, our big find in the expo.
Way to go, man. Yeah, I love that you always have this. Like, I mean, you got like your Pluto pins, you got your Pokemon backpack. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you're always on the hunt for like the thing.
You gotta be hunting for something. You
of
know?
Course, yeah.
I need something to do. I'm not running. You know. You know, I was having fun though. It was good. I also I went through the there were some different kind of booths here. There was a Maybelline booth. for like, you know, makeup you can wear while you run that, you know, won't run or anything.
So you're,
like,
so you're picking up some of that stuff.
Well, because they were giving out like full size products.
You know?
I know. I mean,
this is like the king size candy bar house on Halloween.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we're going through and I'm like, I don't need makeup.
Okay, sure, or anything. Sure. If you say so,
But they're like, but just do it because then you can just get all like extra stuff for her. And I was like, yeah, sure, okay, works for me. But then you still have to go through and like sign up and put your email in and stuff like that. But the way they're doing it is this like their messaging is called like Brave, and it's like BRAVE. And each letter stands for something, and you know how you should, you know, help out people who are feeling lonely or whatever. It was like this whole, like, it wasn't just that you put your email in and now you get the stuff. It was like you had to like complete these like little comic books, and there'd be like a quiz at the end. It'd be like, how should John have talked to Amy in this situation? This or this, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And you know, we're just like, I read through like the first one, and then after that I was just scrolling to the bottom and just answering whatever just to get through it. But I was like, this is way more involved than I thought it was going to be for free makeup. But
that I'm not even going to use. Yeah. Although I can't help but notice you do seem to be glowing today. Unclear.
Unclear. Yeah. Unclear.
Does it run while you run?
Does it run? Exactly. It doesn't run while you run.
Do they use that tagline? Because that would be. I think
they did say that.
No way! Yeah. Look at me go.
Yeah, it doesn't run while you run. That does sound right. That does sound familiar. But the expo, super fun. Got lots of freebies and, you know, souvenirs and stuff.
I believe it's pronounced Souvenirs.
Souvenirs, that's right. We got lots of Souvenirs.
Good for you.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so we're in what we may refer to as the end game, aka the holiday season. It can be a frantic time of year as a shopper, what with cold weather, busy parking lots, and stores full of people. But it wasn't until recently that I realized just how chaotic this season can be if you happen to be the vendor. In this case, of course, I'm speaking about our very own store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. Shopify is huge this time of year. We are adding way more inventory than ever to the storefront to get you all loaded with just what you need in time for the holidays. And Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that help write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography to help increase your reach during the busiest time of year. So if you want to give your customers the best experience possible this holiday season, you need Shopify. This Black Friday, join the thousands of new entrepreneurs hearing for the first time with Shopify. Sign up for your free trial today at shopify.com/poppop. That's Shopify.com/pop. One last time for safety, Shopify.com/poppop, and make this Black Friday one to remember. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Uncommon Goods. Chewy! I remember dating all the way back to my years in college, selling my textbooks back to the bookstore, and going from a broke college student to a college student with $213 to my name, and all at once capable of purchasing gifts for my friends and family for the holidays. I distinctly remember this experience and how it sparked the joy for gift giving, and my apparent deep-seated desire to find the best gifts for loved ones, and enter Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods is like a holiday cheat code, packed with tons of unique and awesome products that you've just never stumbled across before. Think murder mystery jigsaw puzzle, a candy of the world advent calendar, custom pet embroidered sweatshirts. I mean, come on! And don't sleep on the sassy storage containers. These things are adorable, hilarious. And most importantly, still functional. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Don't wait. Cross the names off your list before the rush to get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/poppop. That's uncommongoods.com/poppop for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
And then from there, we met up with Beth's childhood, one of her like childhood friends who she like grew up going to church with. And she was in our wedding and everything.
Yeah.
Sabrina and her husband, Stefano, who by his name, you might be able to tell, quite Italian. Also huge, giant muscle man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I got from his name. I was like, he just sounds muscular.
Well, he is. Yeah. I mean, he works at a gym.
Okay.
But he's hilarious. I love stuff with him. He's great. But the good news about going to dinner with them is that they live in New York City, or have, you know, basically since college and have, you know, slowly moved out to, like, you know, Hoboken and stuff. But
okay.
In any case, they know, Stefano being Italian knows like the best Italian places.
Sure.
And so, man, we went to some like pizzeria, and it was, I mean, it was so good. It was like, it was,
I was like, he's going to do the chef's kiss. I was see it coming.
Absolutely. I can see it coming. Yeah. I mean, we got the pizza, we got pasta dishes. We got
carbs on carbs on carbs.
We got, yeah, because Beth's carb loading, so it's just like, just go crazy, you know?
Right, right. You are literally about to go and run 55,000 steps.
Yeah.
You can eat as much pasta as you want.
We got the charcuterie, which is like my favorite. And I always know you can count on Sabrina and Stefano to buy the charcuterie, because at their wedding, they had a table. I mean, it was just a huge table, and every single inch of it was covered in charcuterie.
Oh,
like it was like a service that whatever company they hired did. But I mean, it was like the most impressive thing. I was like, man, I wish I knew about things like this. Like, I would have had this at our wedding. This was so good. I could just stand at this table all day.
You know? I was going to say, I was like, I could just so see you at home hiring this service to come in.
I was like, we should have a party just so I could hire these people.
I love it. You should. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Count me in.
Yeah. And it's sometimes I feel like if you get, like, you know, charcuterie plate for the table, people like sort of pick at it or whatever, but there's always like some left over. Not the case at this dinner.
Okay.
Everyone's like, we're going to destroy that. And we did.
And good.
And then we got there a little bit ahead of them because we left the expo a little early, and I got a Manhattan to drink because, you know, we're in the city.
I mean, yeah, of course. You
know? delicious, by the way. But then Stefano goes there and he's like, and then he's ordering. He's like, oh man, you got to get this. This is the limoncello spritz. And I was like, the limoncello spritz? I don't, like, if you say so. And he was so excited that I ordered it.
Nice.
I know. And I was like, I mean, if you're getting it, I got to get it.
Oh, I mean, naturally.
Naturally.
I mean, it would be rude if I didn't.
It would be rude if I didn't. So we were sitting there enjoying our limoncello spritzes, you know, which was, I mean, it was very refreshing.
I can taste the citrus in my nose.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not even near it.
Yeah.
It's like what Sprite bubbles smell like, mm-hmm, as they beautifully erupt on the surface of the carbonated beverage,
mm-hmm,
you know, with like the sound of ice clinking and tinkling against the edge of the glass.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make the sound as good as humanly possible.
It was very tasty. And I'll tell you what though, they were way heavier pours than I was thinking.
Boy.
Our hotel was at like the W in Times Square.
Nice.
So, I mean, as you might expect in Times Square, it's pretty loud.
Sure. I mean, it's like one of the more populated places I can think of. Hard to stop.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And this was quite a busy weekend.
Yeah.
Not a problem for me that night. I was out. Beth was like, it was so loud outside. I was like, was it? I don't know. I guess you should have had a limoncello spritz.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm running a marathon tomorrow.
I'm not drinking any alcohol until afterwards. And I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have that conversation.
Right. Yeah. Just implied.
Yeah. Yeah. Next day, though, our friend Nora, who was also running with Beth, arrived in the city. And so we went back to the expo with her because she hadn't been yet. She didn't want to get a jacket. So, you know, too bad for her.
But, ugh, so
you
sad.
Know, you know, I was like, you sure? Because I'll find one for you. I'll do it.
It's like, I'm
sniff it out.
I this is my job. Is, like, I don't mean to brag, but like, this is my thing.
But like,
you know, like, I'm good at it.
I will find you one that fits if you're. Just give me the it looked like you said yeah. No?
Okay. Dude, you would be the best salesman ever. Yeah. I think I saw something there.
I saw something.
You're debating it.
Little glint?
Yeah. It's like
glint?
I feel like you're like sticking your foot in the door, like a tiny little foot blocking a giant door, being like, no. Let me just ease myself. I'll just ease in here. Yeah.
Coming in. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then after that, me and Beth had tickets to go see The Great Gatsby on Broadway.
Oh yeah. How was that?
Dude, it was amazing. It was so good. I like as someone who mostly remembers The Great Gatsby just through the lens of 11th grade Jonathan sitting in Miss Davis's class being berated with, that's a motif, that's a motif, the green light, that's a motif, that was like every single thing in that book was a motif. And that's what I mostly remember, was like sort of the class collectively making fun of the teacher for overusing the word motif.
Yeah. I also had Miss Davis for 11th grade English, and she did really suck all the fun clean out of literature.
I know. And I'm like, because like I remember seeing the trailers for like the movies, and I was like, like that movie looks like really fun. And I remember reading that book and having no, like, not once did anything featured in these trailers cross my mind.
Right.
At all.
There's like a tower of champagne flutes, like overflowing. Leonardo DiCaprio's there.
There's like this giant ritzy flapper party. And I'm like, did I read it wrong? I don't remember any of this. I remember a green light.
I remember a guest house.
Guest house. Exactly. There is a guest house. There is a green light. And you know what? Gatsby throws some pretty crazy parties.
Well, good for Gatsby.
But yeah, I it was like, as much as people were trying to like slam it into your head, it was like it was going clean over it. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I understand.
It's like, anyway, which is a bummer. Now I feel like I got to reread the book and go see the movie.
You know, The Great Gatsby is like one of those books to me that I feel like, like everybody always talks about it as being like a short read, which is another one of those things that like probably like 11th grade me, I'm sure, was being given the homework assignment, like read chapters 5 through 9 for Tuesday's discussion. And that meant that on Monday night I was like torrenting through it, trying to get it taken care of. And it felt like it took forever, probably, like, you know, and in reality, I bet it was like an hour and a half as I was trying to fall asleep or something. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like forever. But it's also one of those books that I feel like smart people keep like a really tattered copy of, like, in their back left pocket.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's like they just sort of
you talking about Gatsby?
I got a copy. I'm Gatsby. Right, you want to talk about it, like, and the motifs, because I'm ready to.
Yeah, I got it right here. Yeah, you're right. It feels like a book like that. I do want to go back and reread now because I feel like it's actually probably way more fun than I was studying it in 11th grade. But the show, man, I would totally recommend it. If you're like, what show should we see in New York? See that one. It's good. It was great. The music was insane. The acting was insane. And all the like the parties and the costuming and like, it was great. And it was like, it was kind of fun because it was like, I forgot the plot entirely. And which I was afraid of, because sometimes like if you're going to see a musical, I'm always like, it's good that I knew what was going on a little bit heading in, because I'm not sure I would have been able to follow it otherwise.
Well, that's you know? Me with like Hamilton, where I'm like, you know, I've watched on Disney Plus with subtitles, and the subtitles helped me a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I remember feeling kind of confused about this book when I read it. So I'm like, what if I can't follow it on stage because I don't really remember it? Not a problem at all. Okay. Not a problem at all. Super easy to follow. Don't know why it was such a hard read. Probably isn't a hard read.
I'm sure it's not, but
yeah.
And this was something that I feel like when I was going through really all of like my English classes in high school, it's really unfortunate the way that I feel like it was like introduced. Like it was almost like immediately introduced. Like, I have to study what the correct answer to what was ironic about this sentence, like, and just remember the answer associated with the question rather than actually understanding the ironic context inside of the spirit of the passage.
Right. Yes.
Like, and I feel like I just would made that so wordy in an effort to say like what was too wordy then for me. But yeah, it makes me feel like if I were to even just go through and like audit high school English classes now, I'd be like, yo, this is fun.
Right.
Like, I had no idea the author meant that. I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
That's basically what we do all the time. We're basically just like a different kind of English teacher.
Yeah.
And we just do the same 7 books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've worn them out. Yeah.
Well, have we?
Well, actually, I don't feel like we have worn them out, because we just keep using different copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So physically, they're fine until we cut the spines off the ones.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then, you know,
and they're
like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Gone there.
Right.
In any case, Greg Gatsby, would definitely recommend it. I mean, I was like, the fun thing was that because I didn't know the story, it was like, you're going through. And I had like no idea how it was going to end. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm like really rooting for this relationship. And I'm like really rooting for this relationship. And then as it unfolds, you're like, oh, no, oh, what? You know,
that's awesome.
Like, it was like, you know, there, even though I'd read the book, no idea what was going
to
happen.
That's amazing. Yeah. I like to think that like the person in front of you who had their trusty dusty pocket copy.
They looked like they might. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think that they were hearing you like gasp behind them and they were like, really, man, like. Hey, we knew this like, was coming.
We knew this was coming. It's Gatsby. Hello.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It would be like getting to like the what is it? The Three Little Pigs or whatever on stage, and like the big bad wolf gets to the brick house, and it's like, oh man, what's gonna happen? Is he gonna blow the house down? It's made of bricks.
It's made of bricks. How powerful are these wolf's lungs? You know. Right. He can't do it. The chimney. Oh, he's making soup. No way. Got him.
Oh man.
Oh.
Yeah. Real humdinger.
Yeah. Yeah. The Three Little Pigs, no doubt. So Gatsby, really good. We had a lot of pizza and pasta because carb loading and such.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But then the next morning was race time. So. It was like a weird time too, because it was also daylight savings time, which feels like dangerous. Like when you're already having to like wake up super early in the morning, it's like the fact that there's any kind of clock change at all. It's just like an extra wrench that everyone's gonna have to deal with.
Right, right. It's like you've just inconvenienced like 60,000 people.
Yeah.
Never mind. You know, like the rest of like the world who's also like dealing with the changing of clocks and microwaves that probably are just going to be wrong until they're right again.
Exactly.
And all that type of stuff. But yeah, this is, it's like a big concentration of people, all of whom are getting up really early in the morning.
Right. The good news is it was the fall back. So like worst case scenario, you woke up and just had to be awake for an extra hour. Like you didn't get that extra hour of sleep. But fortunately, I didn't have to deal with the getting to the start line, because that's like a racer's only sort of situation. It is like, They have like quite a bit of like getting up, waiting in line to get on a bus to take them to the start, where they just wait for their time to start the race, because there's like waves of people that go. So like Beth woke up at like 4:30 in the morning and didn't start the race until 11 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I was like, that is rough.
That is rough. Because that's the type of thing where it's like, I remember getting up for my marathon. It's the kind of thing like where you get up and you're like, I will go to the bathroom. I will drink a glass of water. I'm going to eat a banana. Like, you got like your like pre-race ritual type things. But, if you fast forward 6.5 hours,
the adrenaline's starting to wear off.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, all right, are we doing this thing?
We doing it or not? But eventually they were doing it. And so not that I had like a super, job or anything that day, other than to, we were me and Nora's sister was also there.
Okay.
And so we were just traveling around the city together, navigating the subways, trying to get to as many spots to cheer as possible.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So that was like its own adventure, because it's like, neither of us live in New York. So it's like, all right, we got to figure out how to use the subway.
Crash course on that real
quick.
Crash
course on that. And we're trying to get down to like mile 2, which is, pretty close after the start, to like, we'll start here and then we'll just sort of slowly hop our way back up the course a little bit. But it's like, to get to where mile 2 is like almost an hour long subway ride. So it's like, I really hope we figured this out right, because otherwise... Boy, did we go in the wrong direction for a long time.
Sure. Yeah. But so now I'm curious about this, because I remember when we were kids and we would go and like watch our parents do these kinds of races. I always felt, and I haven't actually had some of this in the like triathlon as well that you did earlier this year, where I was just there spectating. But like it's almost like seeing a celebrity when you see your person run by. Like you're amidst like a sea of people whose faces you don't know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, I know that person. I married them.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Like, there they are.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Go. Yeah. Like, and it's like such like an exciting little moment.
Yeah. Well, it is super exciting, especially because like there's only so much tracking you can do of where your person is on the course. Like most big races these days will have some sort of app associated with the race, and you can like plug in your racer's number and it'll show you where on the course they are. But not really, because it's like a projected where they are on the course
based like, on like how their previous splits are looking and everything.
Yeah, yeah. They're sort of like, okay, they were moving at this pace and then they were moving at this pace, and if they continue to that pace from this point, they'll be, this is where we think they are.
Well, based on, look, because I was tracking Beth from afar, but like based on her mile splits, I mean, she was almost like a metronome. Like, I mean, I was looking at like the, you know, yeah, if you're going through, it's like if her first mile was like 10 minutes, 15 seconds, 10 minutes, 14 seconds, 13, 13, 12, 16, 13,
they
15,
were, I
14.
Mean, they were so consistent.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was like, I was wondering, because like Beth has like her history, like in like the marching band and like being like drum major and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm wondering if like her ability to like maintain rhythm has transferred into her physical ability, or if she's just like trained that effectively and she knows her pace that well.
I mean, maybe it wasn't like her fastest marathon ever. I think a lot of it for the New York City Marathon is that there's so many people.
Oh yeah,
that it's right, like it's really hard to like speed up too much, because you just have to do too much like weaving around people.
Right.
Whereas like, and I think, you know, if you're feeling bad, it's probably easy enough to drop back. But it's like, if you're feeling good, it's very, I think it, like the race itself will keep you at your pace.
Sure. Okay. That makes a little bit of sense too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I can see where like, if you're trying to like cut through the thicket that lies before you, you could almost end up running even further than a marathon by like, you know, weaving and dodging. And, you know, if you're going left or right while going straight forward, like that's not a straightforward path.
Right.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's just like a little bit more exhausting.
Yeah. But either way, like you have where your spot is and you can sort of see them on the map. And I was also using the, like, you know, like find my friends feature on my phone, because that's like more active tracking.
Okay.
You know, but like it's still like you can see them get like, you know, two or three blocks away, and sort of like, now you just have to look, because it's not like you're going to look down and suddenly be like, oh, they should be here. There they are.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you got to be just like looking at the crowd, hoping that you spot them when they get there. And that's like its own kind of sport, because there are so many people
right,
coming, and it's just like, where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? And like on the very first time we saw them, like they're like, there's Beth and Nora, like, oh yeah. Oh, celebrity. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we did it.
Right. Right.
And then you immediately have to like run back to the subway and get up to the next spot. And like we did mile two. That was a success. We got to mile eight, and like we got up there and we could look at the map, and it's like, all right, they're four blocks away, cool, like we got here just in time, we found a good spot, we got through the people, we got to the front of the barricade, and we're like looking and looking and looking and looking and looking, and we're like, shouldn't they have been here by now? I'm like, I think so. Did you see him? I didn't see him. And we're like, and then we look back down at the phone, and it's like, they, sure enough, they've gone past us and around the next corner. And I was like, where'd they go? How'd we miss them? Like we're staring right here. We were definitely on time. So then back on the subway and start moving again.
I remember this from like the cross country days as well, though, where it was like, part of me almost wished that I had somebody like GPS clocking me as I would like run at the giant fields where, like, you know, the meets would take place, running from cheering spot to cheering spot, like after I had done my race.
Yeah.
Because half the time I was like, I am moving at such an extraordinary click, just trying to go and cheer my people on.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I am running faster cheering than I was running in the race.
I feel, yeah, I had days like that too.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we gotta beat them over there.
Right, right, right. Yeah. It's like,
but yeah, the only real difference is that they have like two turns sort of in the other direction and you have a straight line. But,
right. I mean, so yeah, it makes sense that you would get there before them, but still I feel like you're moving at like an all out sprint to get to as many good cheering spots as humanly possible.
Exactly.
Because that helps fuel people, you know? I mean, you gotta like hear.
Dude, it absolutely does though. Like, I mean, almost every spot we were in this race, it's just like a wall of sound and adrenaline, you know, pumping towards the runners. So
yeah, the number one thing that I would ever say that, like, if you're like on the fence about going and being involved in the sport of running, just go and find like a local, you know, 5K, 10K, half marathon, whatever, that's there. Go to the finishing shoot and just like watch people ring cowbells and make noise and mm-hmm. do horse whistles. And sometimes there's like an announcer who's like announcing the person's name as they like come through. And I mean, you can see the jubilation on the people's faces. Like, it is the most contagious experience.
Yeah, it's super fun. Like, it's really hard to go to these and not be like,
I'm going to run.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Now, I'm going to do this, man. I can do this.
That's it. I'm committing.
I'm getting to Bowflex. Yeah, yeah, it's happening. But so I think we tried to see them at four stops. We saw Nora at three and Beth at two, because at the very last one, they had like separated because Nora was starting to not feel so good.
Okay.
Yeah. But we saw Nora and we were like, that you could tell she didn't feel good, because we saw her for a while and we were like screaming her name, and she's just like, she didn't even notice us, you know. She was just like in the pain tunnel, like, get to the finish line. I know.
Yeah. I remember that. Like, I got to mile 22 in my marathon, mm-hmm. and it was literally like, I 4 miles never seemed so long ever right. in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, so often when I like run distance, it's usually like, okay, I've made it this far, I can make it to the end.
Right.
This was like, I literally don't know how my legs are gonna like land in front of each other for, you know, what's 5,280 times four?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. How's it gonna happen?
Right. 20,921,000. I don't
know. It's like 8,000 steps to get 4 miles, roughly.
8,000 steps to get 4 miles. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was trying to do feet.
Okay. Yeah.
So 5,280. I was 21,000 something is what I was doing.
Something. Yeah.
Let's see here. 5,280 times four equals 21,120.
Wow. Very
good. Close. I was getting close.
Nice. But then, you know, then came the next challenge of the day, which is finding your person at the finish line. Which is, you can't get to the finish line, first of all, because it like U turns into Central Park, where they run like the final like 0.2 miles, and they're like in the middle of Central Park, and then they have to walk, which seems so mean to the marathoners, like another half mile into the park, take a U-turn, and walk all that way back out of the park.
Oof.
And like, you just finished the race, you know? And then
I'm pretty tired.
And then in the meantime, for every runner on the course, there's at least two people trying to find them
right
at the finish line. And they're all converging at the same time at the same place. And there's just like massive crowds and no one quite knows exactly where to go.
Right.
You know, but in the midst of it all, we're like just sifting through the crowds, like trying to get to like where we think we can get our bearings to start maybe moving towards the right spot.
Sure.
You know. I like look up in the midst of this massive crowd and there's like suddenly a clearing in the crowd and I look up and it's Sabrina and Stefano. And I was like, are you kidding? And they're like, and she looks up and she's like, oh my gosh. I literally was like, I was like, I don't even know if I have Jonathan's number. Let me check. And I tried to text you and then it didn't go through because there's so many people. And I looked up and you were just here. And I was like, this is so wild. Like, what are the odds?
What was Stefano like, Limoncello? I just keep one on me at all times.
I know. I was like, dude, that Limoncello was strong. He's like, dude, I had three. I know. I was like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. We did talk about them, but so that was great because they were looking for Beth, and like we didn't even know they were going to be down there looking for her, and then they ran into us, and it was like, oh my gosh, what are the odds? So. Fortunately, then, you know, it took a little while. We finally reunited with them. And yeah, like Nora, she had some recovery to do for sure. She was not feeling so great. Felt really bad for her. But Beth, on the other hand, was just like, you might not even known she even ran. She was just like chipper as ever. And like, hey, what's up? Oh my God.
This sounds exactly like Beth. I mean, she prepares so hard for these things that like once you get there, like no pun intended, since it ends there, but it's like a walk in Central Park.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
There you go. So that was great. And then we made our way back to the hotel and just stumbled into another pizza place where we got some food. And yeah, that was a lot of the weekend,
man, what a journey.
Yeah, it was great. Although then the next day we were doing a food tour in Chelsea Market and I went to go check into the flight and I realized that despite what they told me the other day, they had not rebooked the return flight.
You are joshing me right
now. I'm not joshing you, Ben.
I can't.
I know.
I mean, I am so worried. Because, you know, I am personally preparing in a couple of weeks to go do my third tattoo.
Yeah.
And I'm traveling to Los Angeles for it. And it's like one of these things where like the tattoo is on a Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I'm literally flying in on Friday. I'll be there on Saturday for the session, fly home on Sunday. So it's like, there is no room for error.
Right.
And I'm like, goodness gracious. Like I'm just, we're too close to the sun right now. We're too close. So it's like, I feel like I can't breathe. I can't make comments. I can't have any thoughts whatsoever attached to this particular problem.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to miss my session.
Don't miss your session. Yeah, I don't want you to miss it either. I hope your travel goes better than mine. Fortunately, we were able to like finally get on the phone with someone, and they were like, you know, like when I called the customer service line, it was like, oh, it looks like you're in the middle of a trip from LaGuardia to Roanoke. And it was like, am I? Because I can't check in. And when I look up the flight number, it doesn't say I'm on there. And they're like, no, your whole thing was refunded. You're not on it. And I was like, okay, that's... I would like to be on that flight, please.
Like, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to breathe for 3 seconds. This is me not freaking out. I need to be on the flight.
Right. And then, because then you're freaking out, like, what if it's full?
Right.
You know? And now I'm stuck here. Suddenly, even though I thought this was taken care of, and it was super not full. It was a very empty flight, and it was fine.
That never happens.
I know, never happens. Although we did get to the airport, and of course, then it got delayed like 40 minutes or something, and you're like, please don't do this.
You know what's really, what I do think, I mean, it's not funny at all, but it's what's interesting to me is that back in our weightlifting days, when we were doing like all the powerlifting stuff, one of the fellow athletes in our gym was an air traffic controller. Both her and her husband were together. And like, I don't know what it is, but that's almost like another like weird like celebrity situation where like air traffic controllers to me, it's like, it's almost like the Incredibles where it's like they live among us like ordinary citizens.
Right.
It's like, you're never supposed to know them as people.
As people. Like, yeah.
That's so crazy. Like that you go and you direct planes on what to do.
I know.
Like that's wild. So, but I remember, I think back in, I want to say it was like 2019 or something. The last time there was like a big lengthy government shutdown. It was like very interesting to like hear her perspective on it, because air traffic controllers are like one of those people who were like impacted, but like impacted in this like, you gotta, we still need you here.
Okay? Right.
Like, so you gotta come anyway.
Yeah.
So just very, very interesting. So I keep thinking about like Francine, and I'm sort of like, she's out there somewhere.
She's out there doing the hero's work.
That's right. Yeah. Not all heroes wear capes.
Exactly. Yeah. They just direct people who can fly.
So she's like Edna Mode.
She's like Edna. Yeah. Francine is like Edna.
Francine is Edna. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We should message her that with no context. And I bet she would be like, you guys are so weird.
Yeah. Probably.
Man, so now I'm really curious too, because I feel like last Beth did a marathon of this magnitude, you kind of came home with like a little bit of like inspo in your bones,
mm-hmm.
and you were like, maybe I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm gonna do it. Do you have any of that?
I mean, a little bit. Like, I've still just been like swimming a lot, and I definitely am gonna do the triathlon again next year. And it was like, you know, since last year I didn't really do much like biking or running preparation. I just did a lot of swimming.
Okay.
And then just sort of like, you know, toughed it out for the back end of it. Like, I know I can do the bike, and like, I'm pretty sure I can do the run. And like, I planned on doing the training, but then I didn't. But I'm like, this year I'm like way more up to date on the swimming. I don't have to like, that was like my main concern last year. I was like, I'm never going to be able to do it. So I'm like, this year I got that. I'm very confident I can do that. Let me actually train in the other two, and maybe I can like have a much more enjoyable experience.
Right. Like actually go out there and like go for it.
Yeah. So that'll be a little bit there. And when we did the beer mile, I did get, you know, my free shoes.
Yeah.
So I do have a new pair of shoes, which is great. And then the other thing that's been holding me back from like just immediately going out and like trying to do some running is that it feels like every time I do, something happens, and I was like, you know what? I'm not in pain right now. I'm just gonna go to the physical therapist and just get like an evaluation. Be like, this part of my hip just, it feels like it's tight. This seizing in my back has happened a few times. This feeling in my knee won't go away. What do you know?
Right.
Tell me what do so that I can run and not get hurt.
Yeah.
And you know, bleh. go.
Right, right. No, I think that's an excellent step. I know what you mean. And honestly, like I'm in a similar camp too, where I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to the climbing gym. You know, I think like I've had all these thoughts about like my good old days back at the climbing gym, went and bought like a new pair of climbing shoes, was super, super jazzed about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the month of October was just absolute chaos.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it didn't happen in October. I'm just going to have to like reset, start again
mm-hmm.
and get after it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. new physical endeavors.
Yes.
On the horizon.
On the horizon. Zone, yeah. Zone, zone, zone.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. There we go. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, y'all, I feel like that's a good place to close out for today's episode mm-hmm. of The Pop. Just as a fun reminder, we are going back out on tour.
We sure are.
Yeah, so we are going to the Southwest this time. We're going to be kicking things off this upcoming March in Denver, then heading to Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Phoenix,
Dallas and Houston.
Yeah, so we're gonna be hitting like a what feels like the biggest like geographic section. I think we're gonna have to fly a couple of times inside of this particular
ride. Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting travel scenario.
The logistics will be fun. I'm excited for it. We can do this. It'll be no big deal, but I am so excited to have another tour on the books, another thing to be looking forward to. So if you guys have never come to a show, if you're in that part of the country, it is just so much fun. We do a live recording of Through the Gryffindor. We've got trivia in person, Jay versus Ben. We've got meet and greets as like an extra like add-on type situation. You can come take photos, ask questions, you know, just be a part of what is otherwise like some of the best evenings for the community of the people of the Supercarlandom.
Yeah,
I guess. So links to all that are available at supercarlandbrothers.com. They're also in the description of all of the various podcast episodes. If you want to check those out, please do. But otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.